Jennifer, that's you, right? Correct?
Correct.
Correct.
The language before you tonight was the language presented in a second reading of this particular article, and council decided to defer this language to a later meeting. We are scheduled to have a first reading on the 27th and a second reading on May 11th. So this is a return of the language you saw last week.
Right. I do agree with that. Okay, just to clarify, because there's a lot of confusing comments last go around, I thought, at least in my mind. Okay, the way it is written now, you have the 75-foot stream buffer, and then you have the variance that can be done, but not within the 25-foot. So anything from 75 to 25. Is that correct? No?
We have a stream buffer from edge of stream to 75 feet out.
Right.
That first 25 feet is not our jurisdiction. That is state jurisdiction.
From the stream.
From the edge of the stream.
Yes. Right.
Okay. From 25 feet to 75 feet is our jurisdiction. The way it's written right now is you can only ask for a variance to get within 50 feet. You cannot ask for a variance to get to 25 feet and then have the state deal with the rest of any request that may be. This language would take it back to the DeKalb County standard of you have the right to ask
up to
25 feet.
Okay. I think that's what I said. I'm not confused. There's way more between the two of us, but yep, that's my understanding. Robert.
You know, guys, the reason it reads the way that it does is because I asked us to change it. And my intent was to try and protect the few stream buffers we have left. I'm not sure that the way that we changed it is going to achieve what I was hoping. Partly because there are already encroachments within that buffer between 75 and 50 feet. And the way that this is written, if you've already put a parking lot in there, you can't do anything else with your property, ever, because it would require a variance and we can't grant you one. So I think this was well-intentioned, but I'm not sure that it does what we had hoped. So for what it's worth, as sort of the author of the original change, I wish there were a better way for us to do this, but I don't think that what we wrote actually seems to be accomplishing what I'd hoped. So I'll encourage us to go ahead and change it to the DeKalb County standard, but only uncomfortably.
Okay. Yes, John?
If we go forward with this, it still gives our Board of Zoning Appeals the authority to make the decision, so it's not an automatic given. It's something that is going to be thoroughly reviewed. So it's not an automatic, it's still, to be reviewed.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Can I just do you have an
explanation? Go ahead.
25 feet is still sacred, right?
Correct.
Maybe nobody, that's state law, and they can't go to the state and say, hey, we'd like a little variance, a little bit more.
Yes, they can. It's simply within their jurisdiction to make that decision. It's not our calling that.
Is it possible that we can make, that we can say, not within the city limits of Bentley, getting closer to 25 feet.
I'd like an opportunity to look at that, but my initial reaction is I don't think we can take power away from the state and make it our own.
I think you could always be more stringent, but not less stringent than the state.
We're being more stringent by going 75 feet.
I want to protect the streams here. Mm-hmm. 25 feet, that's pretty close. I sure wouldn't want anybody any closer. And as John just pointed out, you can still adjust from that. But I realize the reason here, especially in homes that are already built, and I've had this discussion, you've got people who've got problems with trees that may fall on their house and stuff, and can't do anything because of this statute. So I think that I would like to investigate to see if we can somewhat put a 25 feet hard and fast, no, you can't go any closer than that.
It's state law.
Well, I know, but can we be more stringent than state laws?
In order to regulate subject matter that the state has regulated, they have to specifically authorize you to do so. And that would require us to look at the statute and see if they have specifically authorized the state to do so. My guess is they have not in this particular circumstances, but I do not know that for sure.
Do you have questions about this?
Any other questions, comments?
I have two letters on this subject where people have bought land 20, 30 years ago, two parcels of land, with the thought of developing the land next to the house where they live. And, you know, I think this is a very good change to make, making this change, and I'm glad, Robert, you support that, having been the author of the original document, because I think it's wrong to penalize our citizens that make investments only to find out that we retroactively change the rules on those investments.
All right, Ms. Johnson, at the end of the day, we have a Board of Appeals to make the ultimate decision that on yes, no, should they want the variance. I think we're in a good position. All right, any other discussion questions for Jennifer? All right, moving on. Thank you, Jennifer. Again. Discussion on retaining wall. You're not sitting down.
Oh, you got 8 out of 12 items. You stand up.
And we're not a tasker. All right.
This item was a request by council, I believe, at the last council meeting for staff to investigate some language to modify a section of our zoning code to allow the different use of retaining walls and wing walls. The brief history on this is there is some language in our zoning code that restricts the height and use of retaining walls. It's my understanding that there was then an interpretation of that code by DeKalb County that they had been using for years. As our city staff read that code, that had been an interpretation that had not been codified into law, therefore it doesn't say that, so we were using the code as it is written. So, staff investigated how we could write code that reflected what DeKalb County does rather than what they have written. So our recommendation in the time we had to look at this was to further define a retaining wall and then also create the definition of a wing wall, because the situation that's bringing this issue to a head is the ability to create a daylight basement by pouring an additional foundation out from the foundation of your home to create a wing wall so as to create dirt level at your ability to walk out the back basement and have some windows. I also had the opportunity to talk with DeKalb County today to get a little bit of further clarification of what their policy and implementation has been. It is slightly more restrictive than we knew it to originally be. There are some additional height limitations, fencing requirements, ways you can impact your neighbor. So should you want this to move through the process, we will probably make further language changes to what's in front of you tonight to be more restrictive to match up better with what DeKalb County practice has been. Okay. But at the time we wrote this, this was the information we had.
Okay, correct. Tom?
Okay, since this is going to go to Community Council and the Planning Commission, we just let the process run and get through this item really quickly.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Does this change affect the building height under redeveloping a piece of property in the sense of the RIAD aspect?
No, it does not. That was one of the specific strategies as we sat down and started tweaking with this, is rather than mess with that section of the zoning code and get into those very detailed paragraphs of where your threshold can be and the differences between your street and all of those sorts of things.
Right.
Rather than even get in there and have an unintended consequence, we'd rather just write a definition that says this is not this, so you don't even have to read it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, yes.
The question is basically, why do we have these? Can you explain that so everybody can understand in layman's words? Why would somebody want these? And what are the effects of them?
Why is somebody making this request? We have one local builder that has an existing platted subdivision that they're looking to now build out their homes on. And they wish to have daylight basements, which means your lot is going high front, low back. So your intention is to scoop out that backyard a little bit, build a wall. I'm sorry, I can't talk without my hands. Build a back wall so that you have the ability to have daylight and physical walking access to that backyard.
Okay, so this wouldn't be a case, we're not changing the threshold in front, I understand that. This wouldn't be a case where we're putting out what we would call a wing wall here or there, and then somebody's just bringing in dirt to build up. Is that correct?
Correct.
They would be taking the natural grade.
That is one of the things we'd like to further refine what we've written here, and that was some of the things we spoke of earlier today, of trying to keep a natural grade change and making sure the wall tapers and eliminating that opportunity for someone to abuse the intent.
So in involving that would also be a limit on the height and on the depth.
I believe so.
Wall
yes.
Would be allowed.
Okay. Any other questions for Jennifer?
Super.
Thank you. All right, moving on to sign code amendment.
This item was brought to our attention by a couple members of council and also an article in the AJC that was talking about some permitting signage activity up in Johns Creek. The courts decided that Johns Creek had made an error by not issuing a sign permit because the applicant could not produce a business license. Because their code didn't say that, they made an error. So, should staff like us to make that change to require the proof of a business license at that location before we permit a sign to advertise that business activity, we would need to amend our sign code, and if you see fit to move this forward, the schedule would conclude in the end of June and early July.
Okay. Where did this come from? Can I ask that?
Yeah, I'm the one who brought it to Brian's attention because there was an article in the AJC about the adult business.
Okay.
So I just passed it to them and said, do we have the same issue with our code?
Yes, I remember now.
Right, and they said, well, yeah, because we got the same code.
Okay. But Brian, can you speak to this?
Yeah. Well, one thing that happened is at Johns Creek, they did lose the constitutional right. There was no reason why the business owner could not put up the sign. From a strict ordinance standpoint, constitutionally, therefore, they had the right, and the judge said that. That was what we actually read. The judge did not, however, address the damages aspect of it. Now he's asking for damages, and I think it'll be a very interesting case to say, how do you get damages for not advertising a business without a business, i.e. an illegal business? So I would think it's very likely that there might be no damages applied, although they had every right to have the sign. So the second part, it will be even more interesting than the first.
Okay, do you have any thoughts about...
Well, you do have potential. Overall, I think it's probably a good idea just because of that limited scenario, except there may be some certain unintended consequences. Warren just addressed one.
Okay, so I don't think you need to maybe really go into the unintended consequences other than... if you don't need to.
Okay.
You could probably assume what they may be, or...
Well, no. This was just, you have a legitimate, say you have a strip mall owner that doesn't have a business license, but they want a sign.
Okay, and you said strip mall.
that choice of words.
Mixed
use at all. But that would be one of the unintended consequences of this. Thank you. It would prevent that particular person from being able to advertise his legitimate business interest, because each individual property owner will have the business license and not that
owner.
So that's one of the potential the way it's written, you might be able to...
Interesting. Okay.
I personally like the idea, because I think it has the potential to protect the community from the things that we probably want to protect.
Should we be making changes to our sign code in our current environment?
I would personally wait a little while.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for
again, this is going to go to the Community Council and Planning Commission. I think we can put their recommendations on this too.
Okay, any other questions? Yes, Robert?
Just a point of information for both this item and the previous item. Did we actually, as a council, direct staff to start the process on these two items? And if we didn't, I think that's probably our sentiment, right, is that we'd like them to... I don't believe we did. So.
Yes, you are directed, please.
Yeah, so
you can't take a formal vote, but I can
direct
staff.
Yeah, right.
This one I haven't heard
of. My recommendation is we do not direct staff to do anything at this juncture. Any other thoughts on that, then...
I'll wait just a little while, see how things shake out.
The process is going to wait out through July. Is that long enough?
I wouldn't change it right now.
Could we go through the process and then not vote?
Well, even changing...
Or is that the legal perception?
Well, the risk is minimal to change it right now. But any time that you change the ordinance in our current environment, it leaves you open to saying, hey, look, they're changing it and trying to make some hay out of it, although I think it's minimal. And I do believe that they don't necessarily even have a great suit to begin with, so I think the risk is minimal, but the consequences can be large.
Okay. Just point of order, just out of curiosity, who can, when we have these, when we're having these work sessions, who technically or legally can direct staff, since we don't have any voting? Is that just myself? Does anybody else have the power to direct staff?
You can direct staff and just say, do I hear any opposition?
Okay, but I guess my question is not so much now, but let's say there is somebody who wants to direct staff, and then there's a whole lot of people that don't. I'm just asking.
You're talking about a case where you can't actually take a vote?
Yes.
What I would do is, in this particular case, you can direct staff hearing no opposition. If there actually is opposition, you probably should wait defer it until there's a vote to be taken.
Okay, I was just curious about the process.
If you either direct and hearing no opposition, you can assume it's going to hold.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to suggest that we hold off on directing staff. And this is, I don't think we have any imminent problem that we have to address. It's more a question of cleanup, so I think I'd suggest that we not lose this, put it on the back burner, but we not put it in the fridge.
All right. Any other discussion?
Probably only talking about the current agenda item, correct?
That's right. All right, we've done impact fees. Good to meet you.